Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise, all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob,' and he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord.
How would you like to be the sixth and seventh brother there waiting in line for the kiss of death? Poor woman. This sort of strange gospel, it clearly illustrates what have been two parallel belief systems in all the religions of the world. And it's reflected in Judaism between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. One side believed that life lasts forever. And the other side argued that this is the only life. And then it's over. And we Christians, from our Christian tradition, I think we take so for granted that life is eternal because Jesus believed that. But in fact, that has not been the case with much of the world, and it still is not the case. It's kind of surprising to most of us, I think. But the question is this: what is real life? Is there real life now? Is there real life later? Or is it something else? Those who believe that the real life is now we'd probably call them atheists or materialists. In Jesus' own lifetime, the group that didn't believe the real life is now, we're called the Sadducees. Well, they're the ones that believed that real life was now. And that was one half, perhaps, of the Jewish people. The Jews were divided into two groups, basically, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Much like sort of we have today. Catholics and Protestants. They had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And the Sadducees believed that this life was it. And then it's all over. And the Pharisees believed, as Jesus did, in eternal life. The first reading usually gets a great deal of attention because of a bit of torture and gore, which we all like, it seems. And it gives us a first hint in Judaism that there might have been such a thing as eternal life. As we read about these young boys being killed and believing that, in fact, that they would live forever. A promise and a hope. You see, prior to this in Jewish history, they didn't believe in an afterlife. Up until this time, which was only a couple of hundred years before Jesus, less than that, where there was a beginning of a belief in life after death. And often, so the question is the real life just now? And frankly, those who believe that the real life is just now, they tend to take life, I think, more seriously. I recall one evening when I was a deacon. I was a transitional deacon. Deacon Mark is a permanent deacon. I was a transitional deacon, if you don't know it. Before you become a priest, you're a deacon for a year. And I was serving at St. Mary Magdalene's in Berkeley, California. And I got to know a Jewish family there. And they had me over one night for dinner. Actually, it was Passover meal. And after the meal, Marge said, "You know, Brother Richard," I was a brother in the Dominican order, I wasn't a priest yet. She said, "You know, Brother Richard, we don't believe in eternal life." And yet, these people were some of the most dedicated people I know to the poor, to social change, to making the world a better place. Because they didn't believe in some kind of reward and punishment system for life after death. It was all about now. Now. And about being a true mensch, as they put it. A mensch. That's being a true human being, which itself is its own reward. And I think we have a lot to learn from them because many of us have put off the real life until later, for the afterlife. And you know, frankly, an awful lot of Christians don't take this life very seriously. I mean, we see how we've treated the earth, how we've treated one another, how we've killed one another in war, almost nonstop in Christian history. Until lately. And you realize that we don't take this world seriously at all. But there's also, I think, a downside to believing that the real life is in now, in this world. I think both systems have their pluses and their minuses. So what, therefore, would this gospel be? Well, I think the gospel, as it's revealed in this somewhat obtuse saying of Jesus, is that the real life is both now and after. And how you do it now is how you will do it forever. My brothers and sisters, God gives you exactly what you want, and that's all. And it's very, very simple. And your life right now is saying what you want. And if you want a life of negativity, you want a life of separation, of blaming, of demonizing or vilifying others, of judgment, a life of hatred, well, that's hell. And it begins right now. Saint John Paul, Pope John Paul, said, back in the early 90s, I think it was, that heaven is not a place. It's a state of being. That's what it is. It's a state of consciousness. And there are people right now, I'm afraid, who are going to Mass and who are proclaiming Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who are living in hell. And I'm not going to be surprised. God just gives you what you want. And basically, that's non-existence. Not to love is not to live. Not to love is not to live forever. So some people choose non-existence. I mean, you can see some people choose hatred, racism, intolerance, xenophobia. And that's hell. And then others choose tolerance. They choose hope. They choose optimism. They choose love. They choose respect. And that's heaven. If you're choosing love, then you're choosing the eternal element that exists forever. If you're choosing to love and serve this world and your neighbor, you're already in heaven. And maybe it doesn't always feel like that. But the fact is, it is a foretaste of the promise and the hope that we have as Christians. And by the way, Jesus isn't putting down marriage in this reading. He's simply saying that marriage is a school of eternity. Because at least you're learning how to love and be united to one other person. But the reason why he says that heaven will not be about marriage is because, well, there will be no need of procreation. In heaven is a universal connection, not just to one person, but with everything and everybody. You will, he said, be like angels. You will be infinite. You will be not limited by space and time. So everything you have loved will be with you in eternity, by the way. And many of you would be happy to know that that includes your dogs and your cats and your horses. If you've never loved anything, you would have no heaven to go to. If you've hated every day for a different reason, then you would be at home in hell. Because that's what you've chosen. You like to be separate and negative, cantankerous, oppositional, self-centered. Brothers and sisters, don't make that mistake. It's all about now. As now, so forever. You think it could change automatically? I think the best liner I've quoted this to you before. It comes from a Dominican. Her name is Catherine of Siena. She's a doctor of the church, by the way. And she once said that it's heaven all the way to heaven. And it's hell all the way to hell. Remember, heaven is not a place. It's St. John Paul tells us. It's a state of consciousness. That's why you can be in heaven now. In eternal life, Pope Benedict tells us that eternal life does not merely mean a life that lasts forever, but rather it's a new quality of existence where one is fully immersed in God's love, which frees us from evil and death, And then it places us in a never-ending communion with our brothers and sisters who share in that same love. Love is where we come from. Love is where we're going. But you have to choose it now. When you live in love, when you know you are loved by God, there's no need to fear God. And there's no fear of death. And Paul says, St. Paul says, love does not come to an end. And love never fails. My brothers and sisters, you are loved. You are loved beyond your wildest dreams. God's crazy about you.